Ladies and gentlemen, it's indeed a privilege to be before you tonight to present to you what I believe to be the truth of God's Word. I'm thankful for each and every one of you that are in attendance tonight, regardless of the bad weather. Evidently, Bruce and I have debated up a storm. The proposition tonight states, resolve, the Scriptures teach that Jesus is the Father, the Son, and the Holy Ghost. Now, by way of definition, when I say the Scriptures, I mean the 66 books of the Bible. By teach, I mean they instruct or impart knowledge. Jesus is Jesus Christ the Savior. By the Father, I mean the only true God, John 17 and 3. By the Son, I mean God manifested in flesh, 1 Timothy 3:16. And by the Holy Ghost, I mean the Spirit that indwells believers, Romans 8 and 9. Give me my chart number 92. Friends, we want to take you to the basics, the fundamentals, the very foundation of the Bible, the first commandment. Mark 12:28-32 states, and one of the scribes came and asked him, which is the first commandment of all? And Jesus answered him, the first of all commandments is, hear, O Israel, the Lord our God is one Lord. And the scribe said unto him, well, Master, thou hast said the truth, for God is one, and there is none other but He. Friends, I want you to notice that the very foundation of the Bible is, hear, O Israel, the Lord our God is one. The foundation of all Scriptures is, God is one, and there is none other but He. Now, the word one in this passage is the Greek word heis, which is masculine singular. Bauart Gingrich Danker Lexicon, pages 230-231 states that heis is a numerical one, a single, only one. Hear, O Israel, the Lord our God is numerically single one. Friends, that's the first commandment, that God is a numerical one. Thayer, page 186, says that heis is a cardinal numeral, and where it takes the place of a predicate, heis refers to one person. Hear, O Israel, the Lord our God is one person. A.T. Robertson's Word Pictures, volume 5, pages 186 and page 278, says that heis, masculine singular, means one person. Friends, the very foundation of the Bible, the very first commandment of all, is, hear, O Israel, the Lord our God is one person. God is one person, and there is none other but He. Chart number 93. Now let's show you from the context of another passage that God is one person. Galatians 3:20 says, now a mediator is not a mediator of one, but God is one. Now, whatever a mediator is not the mediator of, God is. Now, a mediator is not the mediator of one person. That's obvious from the context. Again, the word one in this passage is heis, masculine singular, one person. A mediator is not the mediator of one person, but whatever the mediator is not a mediator of, God is. A mediator is not the mediator of one person, but God is one person. Notice Galatians 3:20 from the Amplified Bible. Now a go-between, intermediary, has to do with and implies more than one party. There can be no mediator with just one person. Yet God is only one person. Chart number 94. I want to point out that even my opponent understands that the word one refers to one person. Ephesians 4:4-6 says, there is one body and one spirit, even as you are called in one hope of your calling. One Lord, one faith, one baptism, one God and Father of all, who is above all, through all, and in you all. Now my opponent teaches that the word one in the following verses refers to one person or one being. Bruce teaches that the one spirit is the one person of the Holy Spirit. He teaches that the one Lord is the one person of Jesus Christ. And he teaches that the one Father is the one person of the Father. And thus Bruce concludes that one person plus one person plus one person equals three persons. Now, however, my opponent's conclusion of the passage is incorrect. The one Spirit is not a separate person from the one Lord, and the one Lord is not a separate person from the one God. Now, how do we know this? Because 2 Corinthians 3:17 states, now the Lord is that Spirit. The Lord is not a separate person from the one Spirit. The one Lord is the one Spirit. Now, the one Lord is not a separate person from the one God, because Isaiah 64:8 says, "And now, O Lord, Thou art our Father." The one Lord is not a separate person from the one Father, because the Lord is that Father. The Lord is that Spirit. The Lord is that Father. And who is the one Lord? Acts 9:5. The Lord said, "I am Jesus." The one Spirit, the one Lord, and the one God the Father is the one person of Jesus Christ. Chart number 96. John 17:3 states, "And this is life eternal, that they might know Thee," referring to the Father, "the only true God, and Jesus Christ, whom Thou hast sent." Get my animations out of the way. Now, this word "only" is the Greek word "monos," which applies to some one person alone. Thayer, page 418. The word "only" refers to one person. Therefore, there is only one person who is the true God, and that is the Father. The Father is the only true God. Now, Jeremiah 10:10 states, "But the Lord is the true God." There is only one true God, and that is the Father, and that is the Lord. The Lord is the only true God. Isaiah 64:8 says, "The Lord, Thou art our Father." The Father is the only true God. Malachi 2:10 says, "Have we all not one Father?" There is only one Father, and that one Father is the only true God. Matthew 23:9 says, "And call no man your father upon the earth, for one is your Father which is in heaven." There's only one Father, and that one Father is the only true God. 1 Corinthians 8:6 says, "But to us there is but one God, the Father, of whom are all things." The Bible clearly teaches that the Father is the only true God. Chart number 97. Therefore, when we come to a passage such as 1 Timothy 3:16, which states, "And without controversy, great is the mystery of godliness. God was manifest in the flesh," we understand that the word "God" refers to God the Father, because the Father is the only true God. Therefore, Jesus Christ is God the Father manifest in the flesh. Chart number 98. John 1:1-14 says, "In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. And the Word was made flesh." The Word was God. Again, the Father is the only true God. So the Word was God the Father made flesh in the person of Jesus Christ. Give me pie chart number 99. We want to show you that the Bible clearly declares that the Father was manifest in the flesh in the person of Jesus Christ to die for our sins. 1 John 3:1-5 states, "Behold what manner of love the Father hath bestowed upon us." Who's the subject? The subject is the Father. "Behold what manner of love the Father hath bestowed upon us, that we should be called the sons of God. Therefore the world knoweth us not, because it knew Him not." Him who? The only possible antecedent is the Father, because it knew the Father not. "Beloved, now are we the sons of God, and it doth not yet appear what we shall be, but we know that when He shall appear," He who? Who does the antecedent? Who is the antecedent of the pronoun He? It is the Father. "We know that when the Father shall appear, we shall be like Him." Him who? Him the Father. "For we shall see Him." Him who? Him the Father, as He is. He who? He the Father. "Every man that hath this hope in Him purifieth himself, even as He is pure. Whosoever committeth sin transgresseth also the law, for sin is the transgression of the law. And ye know that He was manifest to take away our sins." He who? The only possible antecedent is the Father. The Father was manifest to take away our sins, and in Him is no sin. The pronouns He and Him refer back to the antecedent noun, the Father. According to 1 Timothy 3:16, John 1:1-14, and 1 John 3:1-5, the one God the Father manifest Himself in flesh to take away our sins. Thus, Jesus Christ is God the Father manifest in flesh. Give me my chart number 102. Colossians 2 and 9 states, "For in Him dwelleth all the fullness of the Godhead bodily." Now this word fullness is the Greek word pleroma from Vines, page 137. It denotes the fullness of that which a thing is full. God in the completeness of His being. That is, for in Him, in one person, dwelleth all the completeness of His being. The Amplified Bible translates this as, "For in Him, the whole fullness of deity, the Godhead, continues to dwell in bodily form, giving complete expression of the divine nature." Friends, all the fullness of the Godhead dwells bodily in one person, and that one person is the person of Jesus Christ. Give me my chart number 105. First Timothy 3:16 states, "And without controversy, great is the mystery of godliness. God was manifest in the flesh." So God, divine nature, was manifest in flesh, human nature. Therefore, within the person of Jesus Christ, we have a dual nature. We have a divine nature, that is deity, and we have human nature, which is humanity. That is, we have Jesus as God and Jesus as man. The deity of Jesus Christ is God. John 20:28, Thomas looked at Jesus and said, "My Lord and my God." But the humanity of Jesus Christ is a man. 1 Timothy 2:5 says there's one God and one mediator between man and God, the man Christ Jesus. Now Jesus as God answers prayer. John 14:14, Jesus said, "Whatever you ask in my name, I will do it." But Jesus as a man prayed. Hebrews 5:7 says that He prayed in the days of His flesh. Jesus as God gives rest. Matthew 11:28, Jesus said, "Come unto me, all you that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest." But Jesus as a man rested. Matthew 8:24, it says they had to wake Him up on the ship. Jesus as God is omnipresent. Matthew 18:20, Jesus said, "For where any two or three are gathered together in my name, there am I in the midst of them." But Jesus as a man is at one place at one time. Matthew 1:15 says His parents brought Him out of the country of Egypt. Jesus as God is eternal. John 8:58, Jesus said, "Before Abraham was, I am." But Jesus as a man was born. Galatians 4:4 says, "When the fullness of time was come, God sent forth His Son, born of a woman." Jesus as God is the Father. Isaiah 9:6 says that He is the mighty God, the everlasting Father. But Jesus, to His humanity, Jesus as a man, is the Son. Matthew 1:21, "She shall bring forth a son, and thou shalt call His name Jesus." My chart number 106. What's my time? Jesus is the Father. Isaiah 9:6 says, "For unto us a child is born, unto us a son is given, and the government shall be upon His shoulder. And His name shall be called Wonderful, Counselor, the Mighty God, the Everlasting Father, the Prince of Peace." The one who is the Son given is also the Mighty God, the Everlasting Father. Jesus is both the Son given and the Everlasting Father. Chart number 107. Isaiah 9:6, "For unto us a child is born, and unto us a son is given. And His name shall be called Wonderful, Counselor, the Mighty God, the Everlasting Father, the Prince of Peace." Jesus is both the Son given and the Everlasting Father. Now you must understand that these phrases, Mighty God and Everlasting Father, refer to what is divine, not what is human. There is only one divine Father, and that is God the Father. Malachi 2:10 says, "Have we all not one Father? Hath not one God created us?" John 8:41 says, "We have one Father, even God." 1 Corinthians 8:6 says, "But to us there is but one God, the Father." Ephesians 4:6, "One God and Father, above all, through all, and in you all, Jesus is the Father." Chart number 111. John 10:30-33 states, Jesus said, "I and my Father are one." Then the Jews took up stones to stone Him. Jesus answered them, "Many good works have I showed you from my Father. For which of those works do you stone me? The Jews answered him, saying, For a good work we stone thee not, but for blasphemy, and because that thou, being a man, makest thyself God. Now the word one in the phrase, I and my Father are one, is the Greek word hen. It is the same word used in Ephesians 4 and 5, which states one baptism. Now even Bruce and his brethren teach that the word one in Ephesians 4 and 5 is a numerical one, and that there is only numerically one baptism. So the phrase, I and my Father are one, is talking about a numerical one. It is a statement of identity. Even the Jews understood Jesus' statement to be a statement of identity. They said, Thou being a man, makest thyself God. They understood when Jesus said, I and the Father are one, He was identifying Himself as God the Father. They said, Thou being a man, makest thyself God. God who? God the Father. They understood His statement to be a statement of identifying Himself as the Father. The New International Dictionary of New Testament Theology, page 168, states, This truth is expressed clearly in John 10 and 30, which should not be interpreted to mean the oneness of Jesus with the Father consisted of the joining of two persons or beings who were formerly separated. We must rather understand it in light of John 14, 9, Anyone who has seen me hath seen the Father. No one can speak of God unless he or she is speaking concretely of Jesus. Chart number 113. John 14, 8 through 9, Philip saith unto him, Lord, show us the Father, and it sufficeth us. Jesus saith unto him, Have I been so long time with you, and yet hast thou not known me, Philip? He that hath seen me hath seen the Father. And how sayest then, Show us the Father? Now when Jesus said, He that hath seen me hath seen the Father, how many persons did Philip see? He only saw one person. When Philip saw Jesus, he saw the Father. The only way for this to be possible is for the one whom Philip saw to be the Father. Thus, Jesus is the Father. Chart number 117. Jesus is the Son. Matthew 1:21, And she shall bring forth a son, and thou shalt call his name Jesus, for he shall save his people from their sins. Luke 1:35 says, Therefore also that holy thing which shall be born of thee shall be called the Son of God. Jesus is the Son of God, not God the Son. The phrase God the Son is not found anywhere in the Bible. The Son of God was begotten, John 3:16. And begotten indicates that which has a beginning. Galatians 4:4 says, When the fullness of time was come, God sent forth His Son. How? Born of a woman, born under the law. Chart number 118. John 14:16 through 17, and also verse 26. And I will pray the Father, and He shall give you another Comforter, that He may abide with you forever. Even the Spirit of truth, whom the world cannot receive, because it seeth Him not, neither knoweth Him. But ye know Him, for He dwelleth with you, and shall be in you. But the Comforter, which is the Holy Ghost. Notice, friends, that the Comforter, the Holy Ghost, the Spirit of truth that was going to be in them was the one who at that time was dwelling with them. Jesus said, The Spirit of truth, He dwelleth with you and shall be in you. This phrase, dwelleth with you, literally means by your side. Who was the one that was dwelling by their side? It was Jesus. Jesus was the one who at that time was dwelling with them by their side, and He would be in them as the Spirit of truth, the Comforter, which is the Holy Ghost. Jesus is the Holy Ghost. Chart number 119. 1 Peter 1:10 through 11 says, Of which salvation the prophets have inquired, searching what or what manner of time the Spirit of Christ, which was in them, did signify when it testified beforehand. 2 Peter 1:21 says, For the prophecy came not in old by the will of man, but by holy men of God spake as they were moved on by the Holy Ghost. Now, 1 Peter 1:11 says it was the Spirit of Christ that signified it to the prophets. 2 Peter 1:21 says they spoke as they were moved on by the Holy Ghost, because the Spirit of Christ is the Holy Ghost. Ephesians 4:4 says there is one Spirit, thus the Spirit of Christ is the Holy Ghost. Chart number 120. Thank you. In Acts 16, verse 6, the Bible says that the disciples were forbidden by the Holy Spirit to speak the words in Asia. However, in verse 7, the Bible says that it was the Spirit of Jesus that suffered them not to go. Friends, there is only one Spirit. Verse 6 says it was the Holy Spirit. Verse 7 says it was the Spirit of Jesus. The Holy Spirit is the Spirit of Jesus. A.T. Robertson's word picture says, "And the Spirit of Jesus suffered them not. The same Spirit who in verse 6 had forbidden going into Asia now closed the door into Bithynia." This expression occurs nowhere else, but we have the Spirit of Christ in Romans 8 and 9 and the Spirit of Jesus Christ, Philippians 1:19. Chart number 121. The book of Matthew, chapter 3, verse 16, records the baptism of Jesus as, "And lo, the heavens were opened unto him, and he saw the Spirit of God descending like a dove and lighting upon him." However, Luke 3:22 records this as, "The Holy Ghost descended in a bodily shape like a dove." Now, Matthew says it was the Spirit of God. Luke says it was the Holy Ghost. Thus, the Spirit of God is the Holy Ghost. These are synonymous phrases. Matthew 10:20 says, "For it is not ye that speak, but the Spirit of your Father that speaketh in you." Now Mark 13:11 records this as, "But whatsoever shall be given you in that hour, that speak ye, for it is not ye that speak, but the Holy Spirit." Matthew says it's the Spirit of your Father that speaks. Mark says it's the Holy Spirit that speaks. Thus the Spirit of the Father is the Holy Ghost. But hold on, Paul Harvey. Let's hear the rest of the story. Luke 21:14-15, Jesus said, "Settle it therefore in your hearts not to meditate before what ye shall answer, for I will give you a mouth and wisdom which all your adversaries shall not be able to gainsay nor resist." Matthew said it was the Spirit of your Father. Mark says it's the Holy Spirit. Luke said it's Jesus that speaks, because the Spirit of the Father is the Holy Spirit, which is the Spirit of Jesus Christ. Thus, Jesus Christ is the Holy Spirit. Chart number 122. The Holy Spirit is the Spirit of the Father. Matthew 1:20 states, "Joseph, thou son of David, fear not to take unto thee Mary, thy wife. For that which is conceived in her is of the Holy Ghost." Now this preposition "of" in the phrase "of the Holy Ghost" in Greek is the Greek word "ek." It literally means "out of" or "from." It suggests the source from which something is done. Vines, page 723. So that which was conceived in Mary was out of the Holy Ghost. This makes the Holy Ghost the Father of that which was conceived in her, because the Holy Ghost is the Spirit of the Father. Just as much as we could say, that which was conceived in Rachel was out of Bruce. Now, who was the father of that which was conceived in Rachel? It was Bruce. So that which was conceived in Rachel was out of Bruce, makes Bruce the father. Then that which was conceived in Mary was out of the Holy Ghost, makes the Holy Ghost the Father, because the Holy Ghost is the Spirit of the Father. Chart number 124. Ephesians 4:4 says, "There is one body and one Spirit, even as you are called in one hope of your calling." Friends, there is only one Spirit. There is only one divine Spirit. Romans 8 and 9 says, "But you are not in the flesh, but in the Spirit, if so be that the Spirit of God dwell in you. Now if any man have not the Spirit of Christ, He is none of His. There's only one Spirit. The Spirit of God is the Spirit of Christ. 2 Corinthians 3:17 says, "Now the Lord is that Spirit, and where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is liberty." The Spirit of God is the Spirit of Christ, which is the Spirit of the Lord, because there is only one Spirit. Philippians 1:19 says that through our prayer and the supply of the Spirit of Jesus Christ, the Spirit of Jesus Christ is the Lord. The Lord is that Spirit. That Spirit is the Spirit of Christ, which is the Spirit of God, because there is only one Spirit. John 14:17 says, "Even the Spirit of truth, for He dwelleth in you," or "He dwelleth with you, and shall be in you." There's only one Spirit. The Spirit of God is the Spirit of Christ, which is the Spirit of the Lord, which is the Spirit of Jesus Christ, which is the Spirit of truth. There is only one Spirit. Chart number 125. In conclusion of our first affirmative speech, we have shown that God is only one person. We've shown you that the Father is the only true God. We've shown you that God was manifested in the person of Jesus Christ. We've shown you that all the fullness of the Godhead dwells bodily in one person, that is the one person of Jesus Christ. We've shown you that Jesus is the Father, Jesus is the Son, and Jesus is the Holy Ghost. I thank you for your time.